To be an elite financial advisor, you need to exceed your clients' expectations whenever they meet with you. Unfortunately, most advisors are holding very average meetings. Years ago, I finally challenged myself to evaluate my meetings, and I realized they were very average at best. It was not until I unlocked the power of the whiteboard when the energy changed in the room. When I had clients saying, "This was a great meeting. This was more than I expected." I want to challenge you to start using a whiteboard today. Stand up in the room, teach, coach, educate, and exceed your clients' expectations. Check out gobeelite.com to see 10 videos that I've made of me whiteboarding. 5 of those videos are me teaching advisors how to whiteboard, and 5 of those videos are videos I've sent directly to my clients. This is a very easy way to improve your communication skills, but also to attract your clients, to attract new prospects, and to exceed their expectations. Go check it out. Welcome to this episode of the Elite Advisor Podcast. Today, Andy and I are going to unpack the wrong ways to charge financial planning fees. We see a lot of advisors undercharging because they don't have the confidence, so they're leaving profit on the table. We also see advisors that are overcharging because they think bigger fees are always better. I want to help teach you that if you pair efficiency with the appropriate fee, that leads to great profitability. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the episode, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about the wrong way to charge financial planning fees. And part of my story is figuring this out as I went. Yeah. And in hindsight, looking back and saying that part didn't work, that didn't work. And one reason that EAN exists is because if all of us are out there trying to solve the same problems at the same time and not collaborating, that's a waste of time. We're not serving our clients well. Yeah. So I'm going to share some of my story today. But also, as you think about your practice, if you are not charging for your time and ideas, you are missing out. The longer you're in this business, the more valuable you become. You have experience, you have different strategies, and most advisors are still relying on selling product to generate revenue. I'd probably say 85% of advisors are still selling investments or selling insurance. My hope for you is that within your practice, you develop a process and your confidence to say, somebody may come in and they don't need to buy something right away, but I can still have a great relationship with them that's profitable for me, and I can quantify and show all the value I can add for them. So we're going to go down the path of what not to do when you're charging financial planning fees.
And to be clear, we're not going to leave you hanging and just have a list of 12 ways to not do it. There will be solutions to these known problems.
Yes.
But I think that these are also obstacles that often advisors put in their own way as a reason or excuse to not do planning. Or when they start to do planning, they price it wrong and then they go, "That doesn't work. It's not worth it. Doesn't scale." And we want to show you and tell you in detail, there is a path. Follow us, follow Sten, follow what we teach, and you will get there. And we will save you from a lot of misery from the experimentation. Sten was the experiment. The advisors we work with are implementing it. It works. So let's talk about the wrong ways.
And there may be part of you right now, if you're listening and not charging for your advice, that there's just some resistance and some head trash around, should I even do that? Will clients even pay for it? For this episode, if you can suspend that resistance, set it aside and say, okay, let's assume that I do start charging, that clients will pay for this. And I'll tell you, you should charge for it and they will pay for it. But if that you don't believe that yet, let's move forward assuming you can do this and you're open-minded to it. And how should you bill for it?
Let me share a quick aside, which is that this is about belief. There are things that people pay for in 2025 that if you would have told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, like people will pay for that, I would be like, huh? Yeah. There's no way people would pay for that. And I would just say, anytime I see someone order fast food to be delivered to their house, I'm like, they paid twice as much to get bad food delivered. And I like that bad food, but I'm just being clear.
I just started using that like in the moment of need.
Yeah.
And then when I saw how much more it was, I have like this little conflict now. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. Like it's so much more expensive.
But I would also say we're tangent. We'll get back on track in a second. But let me just say Chipotle, fine. I'm down with that. Because Chipotle, 15 minutes after it's made, is still pretty good. But McDonald's has a shelf life of about 4 minutes. So when I order McDonald's, and I do, you can judge me all you want, I'm like, I got 4 minutes to eat this, and then it just falls off a cliff in quality, okay? But people get that stuff delivered and pay twice as much, and my son did it one time. He tried to hide it. He was 17. He's like,
strong.
Trying to, because I've told him, we don't do that. You know, we're not doing that. Yeah. And I was like, well, how was it? It was horrible. I go, I know. So the point is, people will pay for things.
Yes.
And this is much better than poor fast food delivered to your door. Just trust us. And I appreciate pointing that out. Like, suspend that disbelief and just realize that it can work.
Yeah.
But we're going to show you how to leapfrog and just get way ahead.
Yeah.
By doing the right thing in the beginning.
And I've had two meetings this week with prospects that after 45 minutes, they said, thank you for that. We didn't think this existed.
Mm.
Meaning I had a full whiteboard of strategies. I asked great questions. I didn't mention a product once. Will they need insurance someday? Probably. Will there be money to manage in the near future? Maybe not. But they were starting a family business. They had some real estate.
Yeah.
And I said, let's have a strategy-focused conversation. And by the end of it, I said, that's what we do. People pay us a fee to build a plan, and that'll take place over the next 3 months. During that process or at the end of it, there may be some things we need to do together, but that's separate. And the people and the wife in this one case stopped me and said, Sten, can I just stop you and just say thank you? Because we've been looking for this for a long time.
Yeah.
And so as you hear this, try not to apply it to your existing world and your clients, because it may not fully make sense. It's this whole different world of adding value and generating revenue that I want you to be aware of.
Was that meeting yesterday?
One was, yeah.
Okay, so while you're in that meeting, I kid you not, I was leading a cohort for our paid coaching members about their service, and it was how to have more elite service with your existing or potential clients. And we were talking about what does an average meeting look like and what does an elite meeting look like? And it was just like, you whiteboard. You every time you meet with, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, every time you share an idea. Like, it's every single time you share an idea.
Yeah, even if it's just summarizing the things they're saying, it changes the dynamic.
So, totally.
All right, let's jump into the first option here that I see a lot. And this, I think, is happening not only on the advisor level, but also the corporate level.
Absolutely.
Is charging fees as a loss leader. Meaning, well, let's just do it because maybe somebody will say yes to it, or it gives it a more of a financial planning feel.
Yeah.
But let's charge $300, $500, $750 for a financial plan. And what I know, unfortunately, and the advisor charging it is if all they do is pay you that, that's still not a good relationship. So you are still motivated to try to place a product as quick as possible because you're using the financial plan as a loss leader.
Yeah. And we have some things about the psychology of pricing that we'll get into in another episode. But when you call something a loss leader, it is by definition, it has to serve another purpose. Like it's like the bait on a hook. I'm not planning on keeping the bait. Like, the bait is an expense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that way. Planning does not have to be that way. And they will value it as much as you've valued it, which is not very much when you make it a loss leader. So it should not be that. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, I think most people who do that, Sen, I think, do it because they think that's what I have to do. People don't want to sell things at a loss. They don't want to charge someone $500 and then take 10 of their hours, their staff hours.
Yep.
They want solutions for their clients.
And so, or it's such an abbreviated, I believe when it comes to your time and ideas, there's two levers you can pull to create profitability. It's your fee. We lever that up and down, or it's your efficiency. How quickly can you do this? And if you do a $500 financial plan, you better spend an hour on that.
Hmm.
But how much value can you really unearth in an hour? Probably not a lot. And so if you tell the person, hey, this is $500, we're going to spend an hour on it. This is going to give us some clarity, but we're not going to go super deep into it.
Yeah.
But you can also pay $2,500 and here's all the extra stuff we do. At least give them the option and be honest about, you're not going to get much for this because I can't afford to spend a lot of time. I'm pretty much going to use this to create a data set that supports my insurance sale or supports why I should manage your money. That is not a true financial plan. And so when we teach advisors, there's not one way to do it, but I do challenge them and say, your minimum fee should be $3,500. That may create stuff in you of like, Sten, that's too much. I don't think I'm worth that. Well, then let's deal with the mindset issues around that.
Yeah, let's get you worth that.
Yeah, let's level up as opposed to bringing the price down to meet where your confidence is today, which I think is what this loss leader forces us to do.
Yeah.
I'd rather level you up so much that when I have a client in here and I propose fees much higher than that, and I say it so confidently, they believe it.
Yeah.
And I illustrate it in a way. And I know, because I've done it enough, that if you partner with me, we're going to bring it. And by the end of it, you're like, this was great. I just 10x'd my investment in this.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where, with it comes to a loss leader, if you feel yourself bringing your fee down, because it's the easy way to meet your confidence where it is today, I want to try to flip that for you and say, okay, let's focus now over the next 2 months of increasing your confidence. so that we can charge a financial planning fee that even if they never buy a product from you, you're profitable and you're
absolutely
happy.
I'd also say, because this is a lot of my position, EAN, is creating surveys and polls and talking to leaders and talking to advisors day in and day out. What are you charging? What did you charge? And we have a Hard to Charge Live event coming up. And I'm actively looking at, I was doing some research on this today of pulling numbers of what do you charge? What do you want to charge? And let's just do the simple math on how many people do you need to charge at $500 versus your minimum is $3,500, right? I mean, you let's say you had five people you charged $500, or you had two people you charged $3,500. Like it's like, you know, it's not difficult math. It's a lot more, right? And what we have found again and again is when people shift their rates from the very beginning, their closing percentage might go down 10-15%. But when you're charging 700% more than the average, like you're going to be okay, right?
Yeah, I do think there's a place for, and we have advisors in our community, and this is the stuff they bring to us that we can challenge them on, that charge $250 a month, $300 a month.
Yep.
You just need to make sure as a business owner that whatever service you're giving is in line with what the fee you're charging is.
Yeah.
In the absence of clarity, we will help give you a business model of what you should charge and what you should deliver, because I know people are saying yes to it and the client's really happy.
Yeah.
But if in that process you say, Stan, that just doesn't feel right for me and my clientele, we'll build a business model. You know, we can talk about it and challenge you in it. And then maybe at the end of the day, it's like, okay, that sounds good as long as your service matches the fee.
Absolutely.
And so when it comes to Loss Leader, if you're resonating with this, where you're like, Andy, Stan, yeah, that feels like me. It feels like I'm undercharging, not because it's not worth it. I just don't believe in myself yet. Or it's because what my firm does. So I'm just going to do what they do. I mean, there's some really big firms out there right now. Their average financial planning fee is around $500.
Absolutely.
Maybe 1,000. And unfortunately for me, less so, I'm, you know, on the corporate team, I'm looking at the advisor level. I'm like, you're leaving too much on the table. Like you're still being kind of incentivized to jump to the product, and the products will still be there. Like the implementation side of the plan is needed.
No.
But what if you can walk in a room and add so much confidence and strategy to somebody that they happily pay you a check and they see you as a more of a consultant than a salesperson? Like that's the dream for most advisors we're talking to.
Absolutely. We never want you to hear this or this. We want to be a both and, right? Now, if they don't move their assets, or if they're like, I'm going to take all that money you helped me save and I'm going to put it back on my company, that's fine, right? That's fine. But we teach advisors and work with so many day in and day out that say, my time is worth this much and my ideas are worth this much. And that's true of you who are listening. And if you just follow this path. Hey, friend, this is Andy. Pardon the interruption. But first, I want to say, hey, thank you so much for being a faithful listener to our show. And second, I want to tell you about something that we have never done before that we're doing now, which is we are taking deposits for our event. So our next event in person is not until October of 2025. So we've decided to take deposits now for that event. It will sell out. We sold out our April event and we have a huge gap between now and our next event. So if you go to howtocharge.live.com, that's howtocharge.live.com right now, you can put a deposit down, hold your seat, and then pay the rest later in the year. So we will hopefully see you at our next event. You won't want to miss it. And now back to our show. What's the one after Loss Leader?
This one is guessing. And I went through a season of this because I just didn't have a framework or a path for it. Everything was a 12-month engagement because that's just, I guess, what I thought I was told to do by a compliance group I was with at some point. And then I said, hey, the fee is $1,500. They said yes. Like, okay, what am I going to do for them now? I guess I'll do a lot of work in the first couple months, and then it kind of goes quiet for 5 months, and then I'll re-engage them. It felt a little awkward. I knew I was adding more value than the people had before. So I was like, I'm worth the fee I'm charging probably way more. I'm losing money on some of these early engagements. And then I just said, well, I'm just going to start increasing my fee. And then if they said they have real estate, I'll add some. I would encourage you to have some framework around it. We eventually moved to where we have 3 month set fee engagements that I know for 3 months, if I build a full plan for you, whether you have a couple pieces of real estate or you have a business, there's enough complexity there that I can say, I can deliver a lot of value in 3 months. And the reason I like doing that is because I'm going to learn a lot about you in that 3 month engagement versus jumping into a 12 month ongoing engagement.
Yeah.
The 3 month engagement can pivot to a 12 month engagement if I wanted to. But I also know in 2 to 3 months, I can build a really great plan and give you a bunch of action steps that if that's all I ever work with you on, you're better off.
Yeah.
It tightens the engagement up and helps alleviate the unknowns. Because I've had people start engagements with me and they're like, oh, I'm going to sell my business. And then I'm like, great. When you sell your business, we're going to do all these things. And then their business doesn't sell. And I'm like, oops, like, what do we do now? And I have 9 months left of like trying to create stuff. And I never like that feeling of like, wait, what am I doing? Do they know what I'm doing? So there's been times I've gone back to clients and said, hey, you signed up for this based on this, and that's not working out. So we can pivot to focus on these things, but we're going to reduce your fee.
Right.
Like, I want to proactively lean into those conversations ahead of time versus the client feeling it, I'm feeling it, and we never talk about it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to your fees, there's going to be a little bit of this up front, and we can help with that. A lot of our coaching, I give you all my systems. It may feel like I'm kind of making it up as I go, and that's okay. But as quickly as possible, I want you to land on a framework, a matrix, something that you say, if these things are true, I know I can be profitable at this, and it doesn't feel like we're making it up every time.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you, if you're like, I'm literally guessing on how much I should charge. We teach people, when in doubt, look at how much value you're providing, mm-hmm. and use that as the beginning number. So one of my favorite things to coach advisors on, because we practice this, we have scripts about with advisors, and we do role playing of how much do you charge? If people are going to ask, how much does this cost? And I think a great answer, not always, but in a lot of situations, is maybe zero. Because if I can't show you value, if we can't find things that we can help you with, then I don't want to see you. And this is actually a line I coach them on, is I don't want to see you at the grocery store and have to avoid you.
Nice.
Because we exchange dollars and I don't give you value. I want you to see me at the grocery store and yell across, 10 aisles, Andy, good to see you, right? Because I provide so much value. So it might be zero. My base fee is $3,500. And we've had engagements of $15,000, but that's dependent on how much value I know that I can bring you.
Mm-hmm.
So you should actually hope that I charge you more, because that's the more value I'm going to bring you.
Yeah.
Any questions about that? Or does that land with you?
Yeah.
Like that's a very honest, because the answer is maybe it is zero. Stan, I know you've had clients, and I remember one of my favorites is it was a very famous country music artist that I could tell who they were through the frosted glass. I was like, that is that person.
Yeah.
And I said, are you going to work with them? And he said, no, it's just not going to be the right fit.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like for them, it was zero. For the next person, it might be $15,000, $10,000. So
the advisors that have worked with us and made this shift, which requires definitely some courage to go from like, hey, here's something that's kind of working that everyone else is doing, but you're telling me to try this thing that comes with a lot of head trash and obstacles that I have to go through. We've had one person go through that and look back and be like, I'm going to go back to being that way. Like as soon as you realize that you can give somebody experience that they're willing to pay for and what that does to your confidence. And oh, by the way, you get more AUM or more insurance after the fact. Like it's one of those things where, like once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to believe in the value you can bring. And so as you listen to this, if you're like, it doesn't feel like I'm there. Sometimes it's the script we can help you with. Sometimes it's what strategies are you bringing? At times it's quantifying. There's multiple layers that you can hone in on to build that level of confidence.
Yeah.
But if you venture down this, even if it feels like, hey, worst case, I'm just going to revert back to what I was doing before. That's literally probably the worst case is you're like, I tried it. What you will realize is there's this huge market for people that want this thing. And they're looking for it and they haven't found it yet. And they've bumped into some other advisors along the way. But as soon as they are in a room with you or on Zoom with you and you do a whiteboard experience and you ask great questions and you talk strategy and you say, hey, this is just the way we work. I'm not here to sell you anything. It looks like your plan right now is just a collection of products you bought over time. If you work with us, we're going to build a plan that is everything I would do if I was you. If you can get that conviction to where you can talk that way, people believe it.
We were practicing yesterday during one of our training calls about have you identified your top three planning ideas that you're most excited about, you're most comfortable with? I mean, we have some people in the community that are just in the coaching program that are just, they love insurance. They love talking about insurance. They're experts in all things insurance. Mm-hmm. And others are like, I don't really like insurance. I'm an AUM person or, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Or I love working business owners, and other people are like, I just like W-2 people. And so we were actually doing an exercise yesterday, which is you're standing in line at, I use the Chipotle example. You're going to be in line for 15 minutes based on it. And you stand next in line to someone who's 60 years old and you strike up a conversation and it gets towards talking about retirement, right? And then you're in line next to a younger family with two kids and they look like, doing well for themselves, but they're in their mid-30s. and we were training on this, which is what are the three ideas that you would say, hey, listen, I know I'm a stranger, but we got 50 minutes in line. I would love to share these three things with you. And whether we end up working together or not, like, I just want to be a blessing to you and your family or you and your business. Here's the three things that, and we were talking about the Social Security one actually, which is that as your advisor, because you find out they're going to be retiring in 5 years, say, hey, there's five things I make sure all my clients are ready to answer these questions when they get to retirement. We've got 15 minutes in line. I would love to share them with you. And whether you end up working with me or not, like, I would really feel bad if you didn't have good answers to these five questions. What are those questions? What would you say to when your ideal clients are standing right next to you? And it's fascinating how many advisors just don't know that. They're not ready to have those conversations.
Yeah, and what you revert to is like, I'm a financial advisor. I can help you retire happily. You know, it's just generalities that are like, I have no idea what you just said.
But it was great because I was actually talking, Deborah was the main person, and she's like, oh, I absolutely know the five things that I really want them to know. Irma, Social Security optimization. I mean, it's just like, she was right. It's like, bam, 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 bam. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I would love to talk to that person. And I said, okay, what about the 35-year-old 2W2? And so different people are more equipped to talk. But the point is, let's get really practical and have a different kind of conversation. That's why people love having these meetings with Sten, because they're like, was not expecting that. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, because I truly do get excited about the opportunity in anybody's plan that's outside of a mutual fund or an insurance policy. I'm like, wait, why did you do this? Like, and I told this lady that was here the other day, she's starting this business. It's a really fascinating business. And I was like, can I just say, like, it's enjoyable to listen to you talk about your business. You've told me you don't enjoy the numbers part of it, but like, it's really fun to hear you talk about business. And she was like, wow, thank you. And I think there's something about, and this is, we teach this stuff about the nuance of just good communication.
Yeah.
Like that's a superpower of being a financial advisor and planner, is the ability for somebody to walk in and be like, you seem really excited to be here.
Yeah.
Because I am. Like, I love doing that.
Yeah.
And we teach a lot on that. But
one more, I got to say this, because you just talked about it. Again, at the end of one hour, we had two different calls yesterday because we had two different tracks. We're taking some of our coaching numbers down. But one of them was about how to have better strategy sessions. And I said, hey, I'm going to make you all feel uncomfortable today. That's actually my goal. That's one of our goals, is to make you uncomfortable, because that's where growth happens. And someone said, it was these eight different things you can do, to areas you could level up in your service. And two or three of them out of the 12 that were in the training said, I want to have better strategy sessions. And I said, I'm going to say the same thing to all three of you guys. Your personality is flat. You're very sweet. You're sincere, but you're just chill.
Yeah.
I said, the only thing I think you need to do, I don't think you need to get smarter. I don't think you need to say anything different. I think that when you guys have a strategy session with someone, you need to show up and just be like, just feel almost uncomfortably, not be yourself, but bring some energy. Just
feel, I think, like, at times it's saying things that are true. Like when I tell somebody, like, I'm really excited you're here.
Yeah.
Like, if I believe that, like, I should tell them that. And they're like, absolutely. Wait, I'm excited to be here too.
People do not overdose on sincerity and encouragement. They're not like, oh, Sten, enough with the kind stuff about me and my business. Like, that's what I was telling the group yesterday. I was like, just show this level of excitement, because aren't you excited? They're like, yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. And I'm like, tell your face. Yeah. And I wasn't being mean. It was just like, bring
it. Let me feel it.
Be excited about that, because people don't get celebrated enough. And you can celebrate people. And that's why I said, every meeting you have, you can just show up and just go, for the first 5 minutes, I'm going to be jacked. I'm going to come back down to earth. But like, for the first 5 minutes, like, guys, I just thank you for trusting me with this stuff. Beyond your children, like, this is the most precious thing that you have, which is your dollars.
Yep.
And I'm just excited. I've been planning for this. I'm looking forward to it. We got some things to talk about today. And we get the whiteboard. Like, let's go. They're not going to be like, enough. You know?
Months ago, we sent out a reminder card that I use that says, before every meeting, look at this card, and it'll tell you to, like, be excited, make sure you stand up and whiteboard, and encouragement. Because these are things that you can get kind of in the flow of your world.
Yeah.
And in your head, you're like, no, I am happy to be here. Like, I am excited. But if they're not feeling it, like, this is the part where it's like, I want to move you to believe what I believe.
Yeah.
And so you actually take action. And the difference between somebody understanding something and then taking action on something, I don't think those go together. I feel like there's probably a lot of advisors that have meetings where the person would say, that stuff made sense. Like, I'm not going to argue with you, but I'm not leaving here like, I want to do that again. Like, when can we meet again? And so I think we do so much work with our advisors on communication, energy.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to charging for fees, like, that energy will translate to them believing you more. And they will say yes to higher fees, because they're like, I don't fully understand, but like, I love where this is going. Mm-hmm. And you've quantified it enough. You've mixed the data with the feeling. And it's like, I love this. I've been looking for this. The last one I want to unpack quickly is, higher is not always better. Somebody gave me advice once. This is, I think it was good and bad advice at the same time. if everyone is saying yes to your proposal or your fee, you're not charging enough. And I think there's some truth in that to a point, but I also want to couple that with higher is not always better.
Right.
And so for legacy, even though I could go out there and it's like, man, I've gotten really good at finding strategies and communicating those that I think people will charge me a lot. I could charge them a lot of money to do this. I could get them to say yes to it.
Yeah.
But I've realized there's a point where we crossed a fee to where they almost expected too much of us. And then my efficiency started going down because they were calling all the time, asking for things. I pretty much almost made myself an employee of theirs versus saying, hey, I'm going to stop here. And here's a fee where I'm really profitable and you're excited to pay it. I can be much clearer on my time expectations and you don't expect me to do more because I stopped it there. So as a business owner, don't undercharge because you don't believe in yourself. Let's work on that. But also don't overcharge where you start losing efficiency and the risk of underwhelming somebody based on what you charge goes up too much. And so there is a sweet spot. We talk a lot about it in our event that we're going to have soon. What should you charge? And then what's the service model that goes with that fee so that those match?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stan, that's great stuff. I hope that you've been encouraged by learning the wrong ways that some people are approaching this. So if you're in one of these, believe us that you can get out very, very quickly. It's literally the next strategy session you have. It's a different posture. It's a different energy. It's a different number. And sometimes people say yes to that number, and sometimes they say no. But be confident in that number. And that number is based upon the value that you show them. And that value is way beyond what you're going to charge. So you should be excited to talk about that number. So Stan, thanks for all this. That's been great.
You bet. Thanks, bud.